Thanks for doing this.
Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, October 26, 2011, the regular session of the Portland City Council. Before we call the council to order, we have a special guest joining us by some kind of electronic device from Asia. And the mayor is going to read the proclamation.
Hi, sorry I can't be there with you in person, but I'm very pleased to read the following proclamation. Whereas only 38% of ninth graders nationwide go on to enter college immediately after graduating from high school. And whereas 6 in 10 youth will graduate from high school in 4 years, and only 2 of those 6 will go on to earn a certificate or degree. Whereas college is becoming an increasingly important step on the path to economic success, with 90% of the fastest growing jobs in America requiring a post-secondary.
And obviously, he's not joining us from Asia. He's joining us by tape from
outside. Sorry, I can't be there with you in person, but I'm very pleased to read the following proclamation. Whereas only 38% of ninth graders nationwide will go on to enter college immediately after graduating from high school. And whereas 6 in 10 youth will graduate from high school in 4 years, and only 2 of those 6 will go on to earn a certificate or degree. Whereas college is becoming an increasingly important step on the path to economic success, with 90% of the fastest growing jobs in America requiring a post-secondary credential or training, and whereas 63% of jobs created in 2018 will require workers with at least some college education, and whereas every student should be able to make an informed decision about college, and whereas many students lack crucial information regarding the admissions process and their options for post-secondary education, and whereas the City of Portland, through their Future Connect initiative, is committed to increasing educational opportunities for all students, now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim October 31st through November 6, 2011, to be Portland Goes to College Week in Portland, and encourage all residents to observe this week. Sorry I can't be with you there in person, but I'm in Asia helping to promote locally made exports of products and services. Thank you. Randy, would you please sit up straight?
Thank you to the mayor staff. And the reason this is time sensitive is that the Portland National College Fair will be held on November 6th and 7th at the Oregon Convention Center with representatives from more than 280 colleges and universities. And we have someone here to talk about that, I believe.
Thank you. My name is Robin Beavers. I am the College Program Manager for Self-Enhancement Incorporated. I also sit on the Portland National College Fair Committee. And on behalf of the National Association for the College Admission Counseling and Affiliate Pacific Northwest Association, thank you, Mayor Adams, for proclaiming next week as Portland Goes to College Week. As college admission counseling professionals helping students in the transition from high school to college, we appreciate your commitment to increasing educational opportunities for Portland youth. In conjunction with the week, the NACAC National College Fair held Sunday, November 6th and Monday, November 7th, which I help coordinate, will provide an opportunity for students and their families to begin the college search and selection process by meeting with admission counselors from over 280 colleges and universities from around the nation. Thank you again for partnering with us to help students develop college aspirations and prepare for admissions and the financial process. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. As the mother of 3 children who've now been in 5 different colleges and counting, I want to pass on to the citizens of Portland and the students that you don't necessarily need to look at the sticker price, because there still is a lot of financial aid for students who need it. So go for your dreams and see what you get. So I'm going to present the proclamation to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, the council will now come to order. Carl, please call the roll.
Leonard?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Adams? Fritz?
Here. Please read the title for communications item 1118.
Request of Shedrick J. Wilkins to address council regarding homeless issues.
Mr. Wilkins? Good morning. Welcome to City Council.
Well, I'm one of these few people that's homeless, and I also have to work at Target. So,
well, you
and I'm underemployed, so it's like I got to get out of here. But I
please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes. Which
Shedrick J. Wilkins. I got to do this in 3 minutes.
Thank you.
I have sympathy for the Occupy Portland people protesters. I think they do a service in illustrating that Wall Street's gone too far. I think one thing they should pick on, and I did not know this until August of 2011, that Intel is exempt from the state corporate tax. Let me say that again. Now, I didn't know that when I helped measure 6667. And I don't know how they have the power to do that, but again, I have sympathy for the fact that these protesters are trying to tell you that they have the power to do that. Also, these protesters down there, I don't think interfere that much in the block area there. And also, being homeless, I've only been homeless for 6 months. At Christmas time in 2010, two people died downtown of hypothermia. And maybe some of these tent people can go down there and do a service to this city and make sure these people get to some place that's warm. And I don't know if they're mentally ill or they do not want to cooperate with the police, but certainly they would have sympathy for other people sleeping in a tent. And it doesn't take much for people who are that cold to be warmed up a little bit in one of these tents. And I think, too, that the city of Portland has already announced that they're going to close Dignity Village in July, I think, 2012. Again, the protesters are, again, bringing this issue that, you know, people who are underemployed don't have the money, or sometimes Section 8 housing is closed. So I'm Shedrick J. Wilkins, and I am homeless, and I stay at the TPI shelter, the Bud Clark Commons. I also stayed at City Team Ministries. City Team Ministries across the river pretty much saved my job, and this is an act of God that that happened, that I get off work at Target at the same time they open. But the Bud Clark Commons is really great. I like the solar panels on the top or the solar water heaters. It's a great thing. I use their 10 computers there. So that's about 3 minutes. So if anybody's listening, I'm going to come back November 16th and see what happens down here. You know, and I like to talk in public. Of course, I don't have the money to run for mayor, but I'm not Jefferson Smith, he seems like a pretty smart character, but anyway, I like the Wikipedia, so I'll see you on November 16th, and we'll see what happens. And again, two people did die at Christmas time last year. It's not funny.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilkins.
Okay.
Please.
Sure, Fritz. Can I just for our benefit, just clarify that city has not announced any action with respect to Dignity Village, just in case someone heard that comment. And second, the city will be announcing shortly the schedule for our winter warming centers and our emergency shelters, which we are trying to actually open a little earlier this year because of the need. So we'll be making an announcement shortly on that. And we appreciate your testimony.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Please read the title for 1119.
Request of Mike O'Callaghan to address council regarding emergency resolution.
Welcome back, Mr. Callaghan. You have 3 minutes.
Hello, thank you. My name is Michael O'Callaghan, and as stated, Seattle passed an ordinance allowing campgrounds of up to 100 people. Caveat, 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 we would appreciate it. We know the City Council can't create an ordinance in that time frame. We would appreciate it if the Council would pass a resolution unanimously supporting the creation of this ordinance, and we can deal with the sausage and government works in that interim period to come up, hopefully with an ordinance that we both agree to. I'm presently now down on 4th and Burnside at Right to Dream 2, and we would like to invite any of you to come down to see what we're doing. We have 70 people on site. We have had, our purpose is for our members to have a safe, uninterrupted sleep. At present, we have 10,000 hours since we started on the 10th of members having safe, uninterrupted sleep. We have a safe, secure campsite. None of our members are going to die from freezing. Okay? Zero cost to the city. Okay, now I took this issue before them, unanimously approved, took this issue before Occupy Portland, unanimously approved. We have a huge amount of support for this. We would look for your support for this. And to date, I have not seen any support for anything like this from City Council. So we would appreciate it if you would get on board. If you can't get on board, it's our job, and I apologize that we have just a few people here representing those groups. But next week, we can have a lot more, and the week after that, we can have a lot more until you see the wisdom of setting this up. We're ready to duplicate. Okay? If you would pass an ordinance like this today, allowing anybody, really, private or public, to do this, we can start duplicating. We've got 7,000 people, 5,000 to 7,000 people sleeping on, well, not on the streets because they get run over, but sleeping outside, okay, every night. Okay? We need 50 of these campsites. Okay? This is a big order, but we're ready to fill it, and it's at no cost, zero, nothing to the city. Okay, so we would appreciate your support in this matter, and I would appreciate it if one of you would take the lead on this in generating a resolution that we can put before the council next week so that we don't have to rally the troops and show you how much support we have. We'd appreciate it if you'd join us. So I look forward to your getting a hold of me so that we can work together. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Please read the title for 1120.
Request of Haldo G. Avino to address council regarding City Code 16.40, private for hire transportation regulations.
Mr. Avino. Please read the title for 1121.
Request of Imre Ilyas to address council regarding concerns and requests from Occupy Portland.
Good morning. Welcome to City Council. If you please state your name for the record, and then you have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Imre, and I'm a member of Occupy Portland. I do not have an official message from Occupy Portland's General Assembly, which is to say I'm here speaking on my own behalf. At this time, I would like to address the goals of the movement as I see them, some concerns voiced by City Council members, as well as present you with a challenge. First, a little bit about myself. I graduated from Portland State. I have a job, I have a family, and I'm in the process of applying for graduate school as we speak. I have been disillusioned by our institutions for a long time now, but have never demonstrated or voiced my discontent publicly. I got involved in the movement a few days before the march and have mainly worked with media, outreach, and solution committees. The first issue I would like to address deals with the questions about the goals or demands of the movement. If you have walked through our camp or marched in our rallies, you probably notice there's a multitude of ideas and specific policies that people feel passionate about. Campaign finance reform is popular. The bailouts, ending the wars, they're all well represented. The reason why none of us are the main demands of the movement is because solving any of these problems will not change the system enough to make a tangible difference in the lives of 99% of the population. We in the movement realize that we live in systems of government and finance that do not represent the interests of people. And institutionalized greed is gravely endangering our communities, our health, our future, and our earth. This is the issue at the core of the movement. We are here to create systematic change so that our institutions work for the betterment of the majority of population and not just a select few. Some of you have questioned the connection between occupying these parks and the goals of the movement. But to you, I say that as long as campaign contributions, corporate campaign contributions, are part of doing business in the city, we have the reason to occupy these blocks. As long as we have more empty homes in the city than homeless folks, we have the reason to occupy these blocks. As long as we use prison populations to maintain our public spaces, we have a reason to occupy these blocks. Besides, change, even global change, starts locally. And at this time, let me challenge you. I want you to re-examine the way you think about managing our city and challenge you to think outside the old paradigms because, quite frankly, they have not been effective. Bike lanes and reservoir maintenance are okay, but they will not save us from the toxins in our air or the commoditization of our water resources. Your constituents are realizing the times we live in and are rising to the challenge, and you need to do the same. We are self-governing people, and we are not here to stop the things that we don't want, but rather we're here to define the things that we do want. And I look forward to working with you guys in the future. Thank you.
Thank you for taking advantage of the opportunity for citizen testimony at City Council. We actually do this for indicating approval of what folks say so that everybody feels comfortable in City Council. So you're welcome to wave your hands or do this if you don't agree, but we want everybody to be able to express their opinions in a fair manner. So thank you very much for coming in to be with the City Council in our morning session today. We will now do the consent agenda. Does anybody wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? Anybody in the audience? Seeing none, please call the roll on consent.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye. Thank you. Now we have a 9:30 time certain. Please read the title for 11:22.
Approve the designation of 6 trees as City of Portland Heritage Trees.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you very much. Would David Oden and Michael McCloskey please come forward? And I'm reminded, as I do the introduction here, that Commissioner Saltzman says this is his favorite presentation every year when we do Heritage Trees. So thank you for joining us. And Michael is the Heritage Tree Committee Chair. Here's a little background. The Portland Urban Forestry Commission created Portland's Heritage Tree Program in 1993. To celebrate significant trees in Portland. It was the first of its kind in the country. At that time, we adopted city code to create and expand a list of heritage trees within the city, which because of their age, size, type, historical association, or horticultural value, are of special significance to our city. The Heritage Trees Committee accepts tree nominations from owners and community members and then conducts reviews and field inspections of the trees. The nominations are also reviewed for health, safety, and site conditions. If all of these conditions are met, the chair of the Heritage Tree Committee submits the nominations to the Urban Forestry Commission for approval. Today, we have 6 trees that the Urban Forestry Commission will present to us for our approval through the adoption of this annual ordinance. The ordinance further states that it is unlawful for any person without a prior written permission to remove, destroy, cut, prune, break, or injure any of these cherished heritage trees. The city provides and offers a tree care providers workshop, which trains arborists who wish to perform arboricultural?
Yeah? Arboricultural.
I'm glad you said that. Yes, that's exactly what I meant. Work on our heritage trees. These certified companies offer discounts for work on heritage trees, helping citizens to maintain them. I also want to note that we now have a free PDX Trees iPhone and iPod app. These kid-friendly and free apps recently won the most appealing app in the Civics App Challenge, and they are targeted for tree lovers, both folks who live here and who are visiting. The apps allow access to all kinds of information about Portland's heritage trees, from the closest ones to where you may live or work, to where you can see a coast redwood. App users can also upload their own photos of the trees to build a set of images that show how Portland's heritage trees change through the seasons and over the years. Now I'm pleased to recognize our 2 distinguished guests who will present the 6 new trees that are recommended in this year's ordinance. Michael, why don't you take it away, or however you want to go.
Good morning. It's nice to be with you again. Our Heritage Tree Program in this city continues to be one of the more robust and sizable programs in the country, and today we're proposing that you add to it. We're looking at 6 trees here that we are suggesting that you designate. All of them are notable in some respect. Two of them will add new species to our system. Four of them are on private property. Half of them, the six, are on private property and half are on public property. They're scattered in different parts of the city. One's in southeast, one is in southwest, one of them is in northwest, and three of the six are in northeast. And they were all nominated by members of the public, and we've looked at them closely, and these nominations have been approved by the entire Urban Forestry Commission, and the city forester and his staff join in recommending that you make these designations. Now let me walk through them one by one. We're beginning with a common name is Dawn Redwoods. Here we have a shot of them on the screen. In this case, we're recommending a set of 12 of them. They are in Upper McClay Park. They're in a row in the parking lot near the access road. Now, there are already three of these distinctive species in the city's system, but the average dimensions of this set exceeds or matches those of the ones we have. They match them in height and exceed them in terms of their circumference and the spread of their crowns. Their heights average 75 feet, their circumference 11 feet, and their crown spread 35 feet. Our Hoyt Arboretum was one of the limited number that receives seeds when they were brought to the U.S. In 1948, having been discovered in central China in 1941. Before they were discovered, this species was thought to be extinct. And in 1952, Hoyt was the first American institution to grow seeds from their cones. When the seeds were planted, these trees in this row were the result. This was the first time that seeds of this species had been produced in this continent in six million years. So there's really something historically significant about these trees. Because of this background, they can be viewed as having historic importance as well as being large and of horticultural value. This status will help more citizens to appreciate their value. Next slide. Now we're looking at a giant sequoia. This one is located on private property at 5910 Southeast Taylor Street. It was nominated by the owner. There are now already six of these species in our system, but this specimen compares well with them in terms of its measurements. It exceeds all of them in terms of its height, and its circumference exceeds that of half of them. It's 120 feet high, 12.7 feet in circumference. It has a crown spread of 77 feet, and we've only seen the beginning of it. Over time, it should continue to gain size and distinction. It's in the front yards, easily observable by the public. We feel it deserves designation because of its size. It should also be noted that it's well-formed, well-cared for, and quite beautiful. Next slide, please. Now, our next tree is a sycamore maple. It's on a right-of-way at 2607 Northeast Wasco Street. It, as a result of being on the right-of-way, is publicly owned. If designated, this would be the third tree of this species in our system. It will also be the specimen with the largest girth, having a circumference of 12.7 feet. However, it is not as high as the other two, nor does it have as great a crown spread. I should add that this species is not common in Portland, and this is a very fine specimen. It's called a sycamore maple because it has a leaf that resembles that of a sycamore, as well as having similar flaky bark. This specimen is being proposed because of its size and type. It also has good form and is beautiful. Next specimen. And this next one we're recommending is a blue Atlas cedar. I'm sorry, our shot is not clear, but it was a cloudy day. This specimens are located on private property at 7000 Southwest 63rd Street. It also was nominated by the owner. The affected neighbor has been notified. In various respects, the dimensions of this tree exceed those of the two trees of this type that are now in our system. Its circumference exceeds that of one of them, and the spread of its crown exceeds that of the other. Its dimensions are 75 feet in height, 12.9 feet in circumference. It has a crown spread of 72 feet. I should add that it's similar to the cedar of Lebanon, but there are differences. The needles are a bit shorter, and its cones are more compact. It originated in the Atlas Range of North Africa, where it was discovered in 1827. The blue form was discovered a few years later, and various cultivars of this sort are used in horticulture. It tolerates poor soils, which are ones we have in this area. We believe it deserves to be designated because of its size and type. I should add that it also has an unusual form with its lower branches assuming an octopus-like shape. Next slide. This is an American persimmon. It's located, as you can see, on the right-of-way at 6440 Northeast 36th Avenue. It also was nominated by the abutting property owner. This type of tree is found naturally in the East. It's not common in Portland. This specimen is healthy, well-formed, and free of defects. It was planted 65 years ago and still also has a lot of growing to do. Currently, we do not have this species at all in our system. It would be the first for us. It's 45 feet high, has a circumference of 4.6 feet and a crown spread of 30 feet. Our arborist felt it is of good size here in Portland for this species. We feel it merits being designated because of its type and size. It also is quite beautiful. And next slide. This is a Japanese larch. It's our final recommendation. It's in the front yard of the home at 4626 Northeast 37th Avenue. It also was nominated by the owner. Ownership has changed recently, but we have consent forms from both the prior owner and the new owner. It also affects the neighbor, and the neighbor has been fully consulted. It's a healthy specimen. It's about 40 years old now. We propose designating it as a heritage tree because of its horticultural significance and its type. If designated, it also would be the first of its type in our system. It also has very attractive foliage in the fall. which you can see at this time. That concludes my presentation. We'd be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Michael, thank you for your usual superb presentation on the heritage trees. David, before we go to council questions or comments, would you care to say add anything?
No, I was just here to run the slide machine and introduce Mr. McCluskey, which you did an excellent job of. So I appreciate that.
Thank you both, and I'll turn it over to my colleagues.
A question. First of all, great work. I really appreciate your continued vigilance in finding heritage trees or citizens bringing heritage trees to the city's attention. On that last tree, you mentioned there was a change of ownership and the new owner consented, but I thought under our program that if a property owner does whatever necessary to become an official heritage tree, that right carries forward beyond subsequent property transactions, that protection of that tree?
That is correct once it has been designated by your ordinance. Mm-hmm. But in this case, that had not happened yet, sure. So we thought it would just be on the safe side to have both of them weigh in. It began under the prior owner, and midway through, it changed ownership, and so we thought we would just nail everything down for you.
Sure. So once we pass an ordinance then designating these trees, they have a right that transcends property transactions.
Exactly.
Right. Thank you.
Michael, I don't want to put you on the spot, but how many trees does this now mean are in our inventory of heritage trees? Ballpark?
Well, if you designate this set of six, you will have made 291 designations. There is a separate question of how many stems are involved, and actually we have not counted them up because in some cases over the years, sets of trees have been designated just as you would hear, and we've actually not made a stem count, and well, since you're interested in the future, we'll try to do that for you.
Thank
and as
you.
An example, the Dawn Redwoods, the very first trees that we were looking at, is a group of 12, but it's being counted as an heritage tree.
I see.
The designation is for that. A heritage tree, but it includes 12 stems. And there are groves like that that exist throughout the city. So it's 291 designations, including these six.
Very good. We'll go ahead and put on my website today the information about the apps that people can download if they want to track these trees and all the other trees. So, thank you, gentlemen, for an outstanding presentation. Thank you for your work on the commission.
Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone want to testify on this issue? This is a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. I thank you since you're here. I want to make sure that I thank you for all of your work on this, both the commission and the staff. And this is part of what makes Portland special is our trees. I think that our tree protection ordinance that we passed last year is one of the most satisfying things that I've done on the city council. So I really appreciate your partnership and all your good work.
Maybe
please read the title for 1137 on the regular agenda.
Amend Public Improvement Code to reflect accurate Bureau Director and City Engineer responsibilities, update, clarify, and reorganize sections, delete outdated sections, add new regulations for preservation of the 5th and 6th Avenue Transit Mall, and codify existing policies regarding hazardous materials in the public right-of-way.
Thank you. This is a second reading. Please call the roll.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye. Please read the title and call the roll for second reading, item 1138.
Allow a commissioner in charge to enter into an employment agreement with a bureau director. Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz.
I appreciate Commissioner Fish's very good-hearted intent in pursuing this ordinance. Unfortunately, I cannot support it. The voters in 2000 approved charter amendments that made bureau directors at-will position. This ordinance means that for 3 years from the date of hire, all new and retroactive to July 1st, 2011, all new directors will no longer be considered truly at will, since payment will be required if a change is deemed necessary by the elected commissioner in charge. Smaller bureaus will be especially hard hit by this action, since the budgets of those bureaus are not able to absorb that kind of a severance payment. And it takes away the flexibility that an elected official, the commissioner in charge, should have in running a bureau. There was no public process prior to this hearing, and the public involvement statement doesn't have any explanation for why no public involvement was completed, which is not compliant with our adopted policy, and I want to make sure that we do comply with at least filling out the statement as to why no public involvement was included. If the public had had more opportunity to weigh in on this ordinance, we could have had a more robust, in-depth discussion on the merits and the problems of the legislation. For these reasons, I must oppose this significant change in the policy for hiring bureau directors. No. And with that, that concludes our agenda for this morning. That we have no agenda this afternoon, that I invite everybody to the East Portland Community Center tomorrow evening, starting at 6 p.m. for a reception, the 7 p.m. the ceremony, where the City Council will convene for the annual Spirit of Portland Awards. We are adjourned.